Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I think we're all enjoying the clear air that the rain, even though it's not great amounts of rain, it clears the air and it's very refreshing. So good morning to you. And we will start with our first hymn. And I'd like to thank Pearl for that lovely prelude. I appreciate her playing this morning. We will turn to number 5 in the hymn book, HWB, and There Is a Place of Quiet Rest. Please stand if you can.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to our service this morning. And as Marcia said, the weather has taken a change, giving the farmers a day or two of rest. But in a few days, we're back to that heat again. So summer isn't quite over, even though it's feeling like it more and more every day. Please listen to the call of worship. If you are delighted to be here, and if you are tired or troubled, you are welcome. If your faith is strong, and if your faith is battered or frail, you are welcome. If you are eager to praise God, and if you need to be quiet, you are welcome. God welcomes us all to worship today and promises to meet us here. Let us pray. O God, we pray this day for all who have a song they cannot sing, for all who have a burden they cannot bear, for all who live in chains they cannot break, for all who wander homeless and cannot return, for those who are sick and for those who tend them, for those who wait for loved ones and wait in vain. For those who live in hunger, and for those who will not share their bread. For those who are misunderstood, and for those who misunderstand. For those who are captives, and for those who are captors. And for those whose words of love are locked within their hearts, and for those who yearn to hear those words. Have mercy upon these, O God. Have mercy upon us all. Amen.
I would invite you to take both Sing the Journey and Sing the Story. Have them handy. Those are the two books with the coils. And we'll start with the green one. Number 16, Praise with Joy the World's Creator. Familiar tune with some new words. Please stand if you can. Thank you for your awesome singing. Sounds great. Let us now turn to the Sing the Story, the Burgundy book, and we will sing number 121, Nothing is Lost on the Breath of God.
Nothing is lost on the breath of God. We'd like to bless the offering this morning.
Let's pray. Holy One, you are faithful to us. May we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy. Faithful with our possessions and wealth. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. Amen. Now we have some time in our service for announcements and sharing. I'd just like to draw your attention to that next Sunday will be a service and potluck lunch at Camp Elam. You're welcome to come the night before if you wish. Eyebrow will join us the next morning. At 10 a.m. there'll be coffee and muffins or cinnamon buns for some breakfast. And then we'll have worship and a potluck lunch to follow. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, in our doubt and fear, we may know the compassion of the shepherd. You who tends us in the valley of shadows and will sit with us long as we need. In our anger and frustration, we may know the passion of the prophet who overturns the tables of injustice and curses this fruitless age. And in our pain and despair, we may know the healing of the comforter who strengthens us with hope and is stronger than death. Make us a community of costly and courageous love, overcoming destruction and injustice wherever we may find it. We pray in solidarity with those whose hearts and bodies are aching today. By the tender mercy of our God, may the dawn from on high break upon us to give us light to those who sit in shadows and guide our feet in the way of peace. Amen.
We are now going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and if you have the Voices Together book, it's on page 628, and if not, you can look up on the screen. I would ask that we sing the last verse a cappella, please. So, yeah.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins.
The scripture this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This morning, we'd like to welcome Otto and Florence Dreger from Regina and Lucy. I'm not even going to try to say where you're from, but we pronounce that word, but we know that you're from the Ukraine. And thank you so much for coming to us today, and we look forward to hearing you.
It's always good to come back to Swift Current. Florence and I lived here from 1962 to 65, and actually our youngest daughter, Karen, was born in the Swift Current Hospital. So we have very fond memories of living here and worshiping here in this congregation for those 3 years. So it's always good to come back. Lucy and we have worked together since about 1995 or so, when we've gone back to Ukraine to do some work together with her and others, and in developing also services in the community of Zaporozhye. Lucy came from the Soviet period of time. Her parents were communist, and actually she says she was the last member of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. When we started working together on various issues in terms of services, she sort of said, you know, the values of the Mennonite community have, as you have demonstrated it, I would like to become a Mennonite. So we had sessions with her from time to time when she came back to Canada from time to time. And she is actually now a member of the Peace Mennonite Church in Regina. So we are very happy to have her as one of our international members from various parts of the world. It is tragic what is happening at the present time in Ukraine in relationship to Russia. The psalm that was read is one that was written in Palestine, in the Jewish period of time. And there was the valley, the Jordan Valley, and the valley or the lowlands close to the Mediterranean. In between were the hills. And the psalmist wrote that when they were in trouble, they looked to the hills. They looked beyond the troubles that we have today and looked to God to give them direction. Unto the hills is where they looked to God to get out of the difficulties that we have at the present time. We look to God for direction. You don't have hills, you don't have mountains here in Swift Current, but you have the Cypress Hills. We don't have mountains in Regina either, but we have hills south of our town. So when we look, we should remember, when we have difficulties and problems, we look beyond the troubles we have and look to God for direction and in our difficult times. Lucy at the present time is living in Regina with us because of the troubles that they have. Lucy, we're very happy to have you share with us. Why don't you start sharing?
Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to be here and have the possibility to share what happens in Ukraine from first-hand experience. And like I'm already here in you in Canada more than 2 months, and only now, maybe just a couple of weeks ago, I just stopped to cry when people start to ask me about Ukraine. So if I start to cry, I'm sorry, but this is very much the way we feel. And you know, right now I understand very much what Mennonites came through in Ukraine with what is happening right now, and coming here and remember that in every family you have the history you went through with Russia in the part of the Ukraine I'm from. I'm from Zaporizhia or Zaporizhia or whatever, and this is the area where the Mennonites live, and even right now there are many places which I recognize belong to the Mennonites, and it's just wonderful history. And actually we even started with a group of people to restore the memory of Mennonites in our area. And there are different things which happen. It's not just building something. It's just bringing the memory of Mennonites to Ukraine. We have different organizations, Mennonite organizations, in our area, which provide services for people. And at the beginning, people think they would be only for Mennonites. But we know there is only one Mennonite left in our area. His name is Boris Letkiman. He said, I'm the only one who is left. So now I'm together with him, but I'm not originally. I was not born as a Mennonite, but I became a Mennonite. And we're very, very happy that we have the possibility to provide services to people, and we continue to provide services to people in Ukraine, not only in Ukraine, but now we have the center which is called Florence Center International. So we try to continue to provide services. Just very briefly, that Ukraine is the second biggest country in Europe, as far as you know, and the population of Ukraine is 40 million people. And from these 40 million, 15 million people already left Ukraine. And we were leaving Ukraine several months ago, and on the road, and it's only 600 kilometers from the place which we left, Zaporizhia, to, we went to Romania, 600 kilometers. It took us 3 days to get there. There were thousands of cars driving to leave to the borders of Romania, and that was impossible even to see who were in the cars. In the cars were women with children and with elderly people. And what was amazing, children behaved so well. They were so quiet. They understand what happened. In many cars, we even saw pets. So we took the most important things with us. And people were leaving, and men continued to stay in Ukraine. And what happens now every day, we just, with Otto and Florence, we live in the environment, as I said, we're like political club. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, we just discuss what happens in Ukraine. And we're very happy if something good happens, and very much sad when something is not as good. Like maybe many of you know, Halbstadt is the place where originally Mennonites have their very well-known like community and town, and there was very good Mennonite cultural center there. Unfortunately, Russians ask is a very nice word.
Talk a little bit about why did Russia come into Ukraine?
This is very important. You know, there are different reasons why Russians came to Ukraine. At the beginning, the main idea was in February 24th, they said that it's a Nazi country and we need to help to get rid of Nazi people. Slowly, they started to move to another idea. Right now, Russia tells us they came
because actually, that was a trumped-up thing in terms of the Nazis. Zelensky himself is of Jewish background his parents' family suffered from the Holocaust.
Yeah, now Russia tells that they would like to bring back the part of Ukraine which historically was a part of Russian Empire, and it's very important again for Russia to be a mighty country. That's why they do all kinds of things. You know, the week before the war started, I was at the market, and I asked, and I look around, and I knew that there would be war. I knew already. And I look around, and people were very friendly, people were relaxed, and asked one woman, do you know that soon there would be war? She said, no, Russians will never invade us. I said, why not? She said, oh, we are brothers and sisters. So people did not trust until invasion that there would be people Russians who will come and they will do what they do right now.
What have they been doing? What's happening?
You know, it's interesting. First of all, they kill civilian population, not what they promised at the beginning, that in a couple of days they will just ruin military objects. I have friends and colleagues in different parts of Ukraine, and because I taught at the university, they are from different universities, and in all the cities in Kharkiv, in Nikolaev, in Kherson, they destroyed their educational settings. They destroyed universities, they destroyed schools, they destroyed hospitals, like we as a nation are not supposed to exist. They take children from our families and send them to Russia, and we don't know. Children, just some of them just disappear. We are not allowed to teach in Ukrainian anymore. They brought Russian books, and they said, you are supposed to have schools in Russian. And there are already some teachers who are ready to come to Ukraine and to start to teach in Russian.
In Molochansk that Lucy was referring to, which was Hauptstadt, actually the Russians have taken over the responsibility. And tell us about what has happened actually down there. There's a very important agency from Canada in Winnipeg that provides services in what used to be the Mädchenschule in Molochansk. And they've been serving there for a long time. What's happened there?
You know, 2 months ago, I heard that in this cultural, Mennonite Cultural Center, they provide people with food. Everybody could go and have lunch. And they even started to give food for Russian soldiers. We were so surprised, like, why? And we were explained that maybe it will help that Russian soldiers will treat better the population there. And just last week, we read that Russians told Mennonite Cultural Center to be registered and to do all the papers that are registered on Russians, and people from the cultural center said, no, we will not do this. So they just said, goodbye, we take your facility and three apartments which belong to the Mennonite Cultural Center, and this would be their facilities for Russians. So they left already, as far as we know, and they moved to ZEP, which is called Upper Kortitsa region, and they are located right now at the place which originally actually belonged to the Mennonites. As I said, they were so well done, the buildings, that they're still there, so they moved to Zaporizhia right now. And every day, especially on the 24th of August, we celebrate the Independence Day. And we expected there would be many, many trouble things for Ukraine, and it is. Like in ZEP, just in one day, there were 14 rockets who tried to destroy ZEP. And every day we read it again and again and again, like civil population is affected by the rockets which Russians throw.
They destroyed many of the cities.
And yeah, they destroyed many of the cities. They said that Kharkiv will never exist. Kherson, which is very important for us, they said we will completely destroy it. So the idea, we will not stop until we destroy Ukraine, because it's supposed to be part of Russia. And you know, it was very, very much unexpected that the Ukrainian people, first of all, we became very, very united as a nation, and we show so much courage, so much heroism, that we will continue to live as Ukraine as a nation. And that was very much unexpected. From 15 million people who left Ukraine right now, only 1 million went to Russia, and many of them did not go because they want to go, but because they were taken to Russia. And because of very well-organized psychological propaganda, people in Russia still believe that they liberate Ukraine, that they liberate, we ask from what? We live in the southern eastern part of Ukraine, and we all speak Russian. So when they come, we see that the Russians came to defeat Russians, because the majority of us still continue to speak Russian.
What is the situation with regard to spirituality in Ukraine at the present time?
This is just a wonderful question. I grew up in a secular society, and now I am in contact with all many people, friends, my colleagues, and everybody. Every day they just say, we pray that there would be peace. We pray. It doesn't matter to what the denomination they go to, but like 100% of all people started to pray that there would be some hope, and that God will give us hope and we will survive and we would be able to win the victory.
Actually, Florence, would you come up too? Because you do a thing on a daily basis and talk a little bit about that.
We belong to an organization called Canada-Ukraine Agrarian Development. It was begun when the breakdown of the former Soviet Union. And part of what we were called to do was to come in to work with people disabled and other people that were kind of left out of the systems in the past. Anyhow, we have moved from Odessa to included Kherson and some other places, but ended up mainly now working with people in Zaporizhia. And out of that connection, where we were working with the universities, they were asking us to come and teach classes in community-based services, NGOs, charity organizations, such as the one in Molochansk, but this was at the university, and then they were teaching human services, social work, social development. And in North America, just like in nursing, you don't just do the theoretical stuff, you actually go and work in hospitals to gain an understanding of how this applies. Well, the university had nothing like that in the whole human services, social work, social development areas at all. It was illegal to be volunteers. It was illegal to have volunteers work in organizations. So there was a huge gap in this area, and the rector of the university that Lucy was teaching in said, Lucy, you have to develop an agency where we can help the students learn how to do this in practice. And so Lucy, together with some other people there, and with support from Canada, they have developed the Florence Center. I was uncomfortable when they tried to use the word Florence, but that was important to them. So it's called the Florence Center. And the board of the Florence Center, the Canadian board part, they live across from BC, across to Regina and other places, and they wanted very much to know what's going on in Ukraine. And they knew we were back and forth there and we had a lot of friends there. So I started writing a short information. Lucy was doing this, so-and-so had to leave and went to Poland and so forth. And out of that, I've been writing every day for the last on email. I send out, some people would call it a blog, I call it musings. And so about 10 o'clock at night, I start, because that's when I get the main information from others. And so we've written this to try and provide support to people in Ukraine through the prayers and interests of people across Canada. This particular blog probably goes to about 150, 200 people, and it's even further than that, but that's our way of supporting people in Ukraine.
Lucy, do you have some final words?
I would like to say that we continue to provide services not only in Ukraine for children, for elderly people, but we also provide services for people who are with children outside of Ukraine. And we are able to provide these services, first of all, help to the different Mennonites communities. What I want to say that we still remember who are Mennonites in Ukraine, and thousands of people get different services at different time. Thanks to their Mennonites, different Mennonites community. So I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you.
One of the things that what happens is there are 15 million people that have left, as you heard, and of those there are families with children who are autistic, disabled, and so forth. And it's one thing to have children with you in those circumstances, but can you imagine having an autistic child under the pressures of the war today? And those staff of the Florence Center that Lucy supervises from our bedroom where she stays, she supervises them. They do it, most of it online, but some of it in person where they are now located.
So I would suggest that we all keep Ukraine in our prayers, that there be reconciliation. And we also recognize that many of the soldiers that come from Russia to Ukraine are frustrated and do not want to come. So let's keep Ukraine in our prayers. Let's keep Russia in our prayers. Let's keep all of us in our prayers in relationship to the violence that is happening around the world, and not just in Ukraine, but in other places as well. If there are questions, we will be having lunch, I think, and if after church somebody wants to ask for further questions, we are open to that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. It was extremely interesting. I'm actually, my dad is raised, he's Ukrainian. He was raised as a Greek Orthodox. But my grandma and grandpa immigrated in the late 1980s in there and farmed in Saskatchewan near Yorkton. So my grandmother only spoke Ukrainian, but she passed away when I was so young that I never learned to speak it. Unfortunately, I really regret that. So anyway, thank you so much. We will now sing Under His Wings. And it's on the back of your bulletin. And certainly we know that even though that there's such tragedy in Ukraine, that God is keeping them as safe as possible under His wings. So would you please stand and sing together?
Thank you.
peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you always. Amen.
I would ask you now to turn in your hymn books to number 584. And usually I like to end the service in a kind of an upbeat note, but I just felt like led to this piece, and just a little more prayerful.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.